Will you please turn to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 1. We'll read from verse 12 for verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come into the city, they went up to the upper chamber, where were staying both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Jude the brother of James. These gave themselves, all with one accord, to continual prayer, with several women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Then chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Chapter 2, we read from verse 37 through verse 47. And having heard it, they were pricked in heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brethren?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God may call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those then who had accepted his word were baptized, and there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. And they persevered in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in breaking of bread and prayers, and fear was upon every soul, and many wonders and signs took place through the apostles' means. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and substance, and distributed them to all according as anyone might have need. And every day being constantly in the temple with one accord, and breaking bread in the house, they received their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the assembly daily those that were to be saved. Chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. Verse 33. And the heart and soul of the multitude of those that had believed were one, and not one said that anything of what he possessed was his own, but all things were common to them. And with great power did the apostles give witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. May we have a word of prayer. Lord, we have read thy word, and now, Lord, may thy Holy Spirit breathe upon thy written word, and make them living and operative in our lives. To thee be the glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We have begun to share together on the life of the church, the body of Christ. And if you still remember, because that's way back in January, we have our first session, and we talk about the concept of the church. The church is not a product of history. It is a concept that God had even before the foundation of the world. even before the foundation of the world. God hath purposed in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that there should be a church, a body. And through that church, that body, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known, even to the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies. So, brothers and sisters, first of all, we need to remember that the church is not a product of human history. It is in the very heart and mind of God in eternity past. We need to know the church in God's mind. The success of the failure of a church is to be measured by its nearness or farness from God's concept of the church. That measures the success or failure. And then way back in May, we have the second session. And we shared on the birth of the church. That is, its birth on earth. We mentioned two things. One, the church is never organized. It is born. And it is born through travail, through the travail of the triune God and the travail of God's people. Then secondly, we mentioned the meaning of Pentecost. The primary meaning of Pentecost is not in sight or sound. It is in the exaltation of Jesus as the Christ, as Lord, and also in the union, the formation of the body of Christ. Now this morning we would like to start on the life of the church, the body of Christ. And of course, the first one that appears on earth is the church in Jerusalem. So we would like to together see the life of the church in Jerusalem. Now, brothers and sisters, we know there is only one church. Our Lord Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That is the one church universal. But in the building of that one church, God builds through many churches local. And this is very evident. Not only we find it in the book of Acts, but we can see it in the book of Revelation. How in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, we see the seven churches in Asia. And then finally, in Revelation 21 and 22, we find the church universal, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. So the building, the actual building of the church universal is through the building of the churches local. And the first one that appears on this earth is the church in Jerusalem. Therefore, the church in Jerusalem has a very special place. After our Lord ascended to heaven on the Mount of Olives, some of His disciples, they returned to Jerusalem They went to that upper room. And there, they waited actively, praying with one accord for the coming of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, who were those that were gathered in that upper room? The Bible tells us that in that upper room there were the 11 apostles, and the names were given. And aside from the 11 apostles, there were some women there. And no doubt, if we read Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, we will find that when our Lord Jesus was ministering on the earth, there were a number of women following the Lord, ministering unto the Lord and to His disciples. They were Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Herod Stewart, Susanna, and other women. And no doubt, these were the women that were there. And also you'll find it is said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And the brethren of our Lord Jesus. You remember that when our Lord was on earth, His brethren in the flesh did not believe in Him. But somehow, after His death and resurrection, all His brethren became His disciples. And among them, of course, there were James and Jude. So altogether, there were about 120 that were there. Now, these 120, we can say, they are the cream of all the disciples of our Lord Jesus at that time. They were the one that followed the Lord Jesus faithfully. They were the one that obeyed the Lord Jesus and returned to Jerusalem and waited for the coming of the promise of the Holy Spirit. They knew the Lord. They all had a long history with the Lord. And while they were waiting, praying, travailing, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came from heaven. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And something happened. In one spirit, these 120 believers were baptized into one body, the body of Christ. You find that not only each one of them has an organic relationship with the Lord Himself, but you find that they were organically united one with another as one body. Not 120 individuals, but 120 members of the one body of Christ. You know, probably when we read the record of the day of Pentecost, we think that it was Peter who stood up and preached the first gospel message. But of course, if you read a little carefully, you will find when Peter stood up, the other 11, they all stood up with him. But if you read still more carefully, you'll find actually it was the 120, every one of them. They spoke in tongues, and they spoke of the great things of God. And it was because of this that drew the multitudes to them. Evidently, they moved from that upper room to Solomon's porch, because that is the place where multitudes could be gathered. And everybody heard they were speaking in their original tongue. So, brothers and sisters, immediately you find after a body is being born, all the members of that body are functioning. Not just Peter functioning, not just the 11 apostles functioning with him, but you find the man and the woman, you find every member in that body was functioning. They were all testifying, speaking of the great things of God. And that drew the multitudes to them. Now that's a healthy body. Now when you see every member of the body is functioning, you know that body is healthy. So thank God from the very beginning, you find a very healthy body was born. And then, when the multitude heard the preaching of the gospel, they were pricked in heart. Now, you know that this was the time of the feast of Pentecost. And many Jews from all over the world, they gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. Now, unfortunately, many people came out of tradition. It was a religion to them. But thank God that among the multitudes, there were people who were real seekers of God, seekers of truth. And it was to these people that you find light broke into their lives. So when they heard the preaching of the gospel, they were pricked in heart. And they asked Peter and the 11 apostles, what should we do? We have rejected Christ. Now what should we do? And Peter said, repent. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Because the promise is not only to you, but to your children, to those who are near, and to those who are far. And you'll find these people, they receive fully the word that Peter said. And Peter said many other words, exhorted them to be saved from this perverse generation. This perverse generation rejected the Savior. Now, be saved from this perverse generation. Separated from them. And be wholly committed to Christ Jesus. So those who believe were baptized. And in one day, about 3,000 were added. Now, brothers and sisters, these 3,000 were soundly saved. They were perfect births. You know, today, when people say they believe in the Lord Jesus, sometimes you find it is not that absolute. Not that clear. But here you find a people who repented, who separated themselves from the world, from that perverse generation, who were baptized, fully committed to Christ, and who received the promise of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, soundly saved. Perfectly born. Even though they were still babes in Christ. Now, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we were babes in Christ in the beginning. And yet you find, because they were so soundly saved and perfectly birth, born. Therefore, you'll find these 3,000 and 120, they were just joined together as one body. There was no gap of any kind. They were just one people, one body. Now, that is the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was composed not just with those veterans in Christ Jesus. They were composed even from the very beginning, babes in Christ. It is a family. And those who knew the Lord for a long time, probably they would be able to help those who were babes in Christ. And those who were babes in Christ were humble enough to receive help from these who knew the Lord very well. And they just merged together as one because they are one. One family, one people, one church, one body. How can there be a new body, a living body, and not a new way of life? Without any plan, any planning, no need to enforce anything, but you find naturally, supernaturally, naturally, you find a lifestyle begin to appear. A new way of life begin to appear. Formerly, these people, they each live their own lives. But now you find something had happened. They become one people. Not only one people, one body. And very quickly you'll find that body life began to show forth. Now, brothers and sisters, body life is not something planned, manufactured. Body life comes out of life because they share a common life. Because they are in the one body. So, very naturally, you find they just begin to live together a way of life, a style of life. It is so natural. A way of life, a corporate life, a life together that the world has never seen before. It is a way of life that is different from all the ways that the world may ever know of living. Why? Because Jesus, He is the way. Now, brothers and sisters, we would like to see what kind of life is body life? What kind of life these early believers lived as the church of God? First of all, you will find in chapter 2, verse 42, they persevered. They continued. They occupied themselves. The apostles in breaking up. Now, brothers and sisters, remember, before this happened, they were occupied with many things. But hereafter, you find what occupied their lives. What did they live? How did they live? They continued faithfully occupied with the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. Now, what is the teaching of the apostles? You should notice that the word teaching is singular in number. But the word apostles is plural in number. There were 12 apostles. But there is only one teaching. The teaching of the apostles. Now, what is the teaching of the apostles? You remember our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, He said, "Go and disciples the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all things that I have enjoined to you, and I will be with you to the end of the age." So in other words, the teaching of the apostles is none other but what the Lord has taught them. They just teach what the Lord has taught them. And you also remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "What we deliver you to you was just what we have received from the Lord." The apostles do not have their own teachings. They only teach what they are taught by the Lord. So the teaching of the apostles is none other but the teaching of Christ. They taught them Christ. The fellowship of the apostles. Again, you notice, fellowship is singular number. One fellowship. Apostles are plural number. Number of apostles. But brothers and sisters, what is the fellowship of the apostles? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it is said, "God is faithful. We are called into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we have reported to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son." So, brothers and sisters, it is clear that the fellowship of the apostles is none other but the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Peter does not have his own fellowship. Paul does not have his own fellowship. Actually, he told the Corinthian believers to say, "I'm of Paul." Now that is wrong, because Christ is not divided. There is only one fellowship. The fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Not only the teaching, but also the fellowship. The teaching composed our faith. The fellowship is our practice. There is one faith, one fellowship. One common faith, one common fellowship. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find these people. They receive the teaching of Christ. They are taught of Christ. And they fellowship in Christ. They fellowship one another with Christ. That is body life. In breaking of bread and prayers, the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles are especially expressed in these two means. One is the breaking of bread. Now, why is the breaking of bread so important? Because the breaking of bread is our communion with our Lord. We are in communion with His blood. We are in communion with His body. And we are in communion one with another. It is a practical expression of our union and communion in Christ Jesus. Prayers. Now, why prayers is so important? Now, this is not personal prayers, but praying together, corporate prayer. Why is it so important? Because prayer expresses our union with Christ in His purpose and interest. We just not pray each for ourselves or just for our small circles. We pray for His interest and His purpose. So the breaking of bread actually is the life of the church. And prayer is the ministry of the church. Brothers and sisters, how important, essential it is that we were there at the Lord's table. It is not a ritual. It is not a form. It is not a habit, a tradition. But every time when we gather together at His table and remember the Lord, we are in spiritual communion with His blood and with His body. And we are in fellowship with all the brothers and sisters, members of the body of Christ throughout the whole world. It is a testimony. It is body life. Now, how can you say you have body life if you absent yourself from the Lord's table? How can you say you have body life if you absent yourself from prayers? These are the practical expressions of the body of Christ, of body life. And you'll find from the very beginning, these 3,120 believers, they occupy themselves in this manner. May I say, as many believers there are as many at the Lord's table and as many in the prayer. Now that is body life. Number two. Here it is said, all that believed were together. All who believed were together. Now this togetherness is more than just a physical together. This togetherness is a spiritual oneness. It is expressed in different ways. Number one, you'll find it is expressed in their concern for one another, in their care for one another. you find that they are a people who are completely delivered from self-possessiveness. You know, self-possessiveness is one of the primitive instinct of human being. Even a child has this instinct of self-possessiveness. When they are playing with their toys, they say, "Oh, this is mine." We are all selfish people, self-centered people. And yet you find when these 120 and 3,000 and more, when they are born into one body, all this selfishness, all this self-possessiveness were gone. They share everything. Nobody says, "This is mine." They care for one another. They supply the need for one another. Because you must remember that during those days, many came to the feast and they did not return. So there was no job. They were not doing anything. So house was open for them to live. And they eat together and they share everything together. Suppose a cell in your body say, "This is mine, this life is mine." What will happen? You have cancer. No cell in your body will say, "This is mine." They share everything with the whole body. Brothers and sisters, you find when the Spirit of God gives birth to that heavenly body on earth, they begin to live a lifestyle never seen on this earth. Not taught, not enforced, natural, spiritually natural, together. How can we say we are one body if we do not care for one another? They express their togetherness. By breaking bread from house to house. They love the Lord so much. They love one another so much. That probably during their time at every meal, they just celebrate. Remember the Lord. You know, sometimes I feel we make this matter of breaking the bread too complicated. Actually, it should be very, very simple. Maybe after a meal, we feel touched by the grace and the love of God. Let's break bread. Give thanks to Him. They did that to show their togetherness. And they assembled daily in the temple with one accord. That's togetherness. We cannot say, "My spirit is with you, but your body is not there." That's not togetherness. Now, if the body is there and your spirit is not there, that's not togetherness either. But if there is togetherness, your spirit should be there and your body should always also be there. So you find they assemble daily in the temple with one accord. they do not forsake the assembling of the saints. They encourage, exhort one another to love and to good works. Now that's togetherness. Well, modern life is not conducive to spiritual living. That's true. But in spite of that, brothers and sisters, I feel very much ashamed when I think what the early believers live their body of life. And how do we live today? Suppose a body life. We need to be before the Lord about it. Number three. They receive their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I believe, brothers and sisters, when they say they receive their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, they were a joyful, thankful, contented people. They were completely delivered from the love of the world. They began to live a simple life. Brothers and sisters, how do we know we are delivered from the world if we still live a very complicated life? A Christian life ought to be very simple. Contented with what the Lord has given us. Completely delivered from the love of the world. A new lifestyle comes forth. A happy, contented, thankful, praising people. I believe when the Spirit of God is really moving, wherever, whenever, you will find a people living simply, not for the world, not for themselves, but for the Lord. That's the body life. That's the life of the church. And when the world looked at this people, they were amazed. Because they never saw something like that on this earth. And then fourthly, in chapter 4, you find that the heart and the soul of the multitudes of those that were believed were one. The Spirit of God mentioned again and again that these people, now remember, by that time, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added, and the Lord added to them daily, and then you'll find in chapter 4, it came to 5,000. So you find with all these people, they were one in heart and one in mind.